Dear friends, on behalf of American University Washington College of Law, good morning and welcome to this MacArthur International Justice Lecture Series Conference on Advocacy Before Regional Human Rights Bodies, a Cross-Regional Agenda. We're honored to offer this important conference, which will examine a vital, important subject. I'm sure this initiative will contribute significantly to its essential discourse and to opportunities for strengthening human dignity. We're receiving you in an institution that is deeply committed with the substantive issues, advocacy for human rights, to be discussed today. Our law school was the first law school in this country to be founded by women. Ellen Spencer Massey and Emma Gillet, in a moment where the women were not admitted into the law schools and into the practice of the profession. And they believe, our founding mothers, that it was essential to educate lawyers into important values of dignity for the purposes of achieving gender equality. That created a very important message of transformation and commitment with the principle of access to justice for all. Our students, faculty, and administrators engage in a variety of initiatives to that end, some of which include advocacy as a component and some which utilize other means. Examples include our Academy on Human Rights and Humanitarian Law, which attract top figures in the universal and regional systems for civil, political, economic, cultural, social rights, as well as other initiatives to assist the weak, the poor, and the elderly. Our Center for Human Rights and Humanitarian Law has spearheaded many major human rights initiatives to fight injustice, and the center recently launched a new institute in collaboration with the International Committee of the Red Cross to train law school professors on the substance and importance of international humanitarian law and the Geneva Conventions. Our clinical program includes 9 in-house clinics in areas such as international human rights law, disability rights law, domestic violence, intellectual property, community economic development. Our clinics took the first case in the United States involving female genital mutilation, changing the jurisprudence to allow FGM to be a ground for asylum. And that, again, had an important principle in establishing an important principle broadening the scope of what has been the jurisprudence in this matter. Our clinics also represent detainees in the United States, in Africa, in Latin America, offering pro bono our expertise for the purposes of incorporating notions of international law into a domestic realm. We have a United Nations Committee Against Torture project, which works to reinforce and strengthen the notion that there is no justification for torture whatsoever, and that it's essential to comply with the provisions of the Convention Against Torture in all its dimensions. Our impact litigation project, another project in the law school, stresses accountability, the right of women and indigenous populations, and freedom of expression. Our university also houses the only war crimes research office in the United States that assists war crime tribunals in establishing accountability for international crimes. Since the beginning of our efforts, the institution has understood that impunity conspires this drastic attack against the seriousness to which we take the rule of law. And there is a very important then role in establishing international norms that will ensure that. As we develop the center programs and activities, we have seen that as much as we can contribute, we have even more to learn. In the past, academic institutions would do research, store the products of their research in libraries and train people, and they would claim some exclusivity in doing that. Now, we see numerous institutions that engage in similar pursuits, and then from the point of view of our strategic vision, partnering, engaging in joint conferences and joint research and training is essential to achieve our goals. As we're not any longer the only ones doing this. Barriers have broken down, and many institutions in civil society pursue the same goals. So in that spirit is that we have organized this, contributed to the organization of this conference, the purpose of which is to create a space for the exchange of experiences and cross-cultural communication between regional bodies that supervise compliance with human rights treaties. The topics of the conference include perspective, approaches, and experiences in combating impunity, the scope of reparations, challenges in defining the scope and guaranteeing their enforcement, and the challenges facing regional systems for the protections of human rights. We all know that the treaties and the role and the supervisory organs are regional. However, the fact that a similar language is used in the foundational treaties opens up a space for jurisprudential comparison and consideration in decision-making. After all, human rights is a common narrative of human dignity, united us all. We also have a lot to learn from each other. The systems of reparations, what to do with mass and gross violations of human rights, what is the space for legal approaches, what is the relationship between semi-judicial system of supervision and judicial system of supervision. And I can go on this matter that it was the basis and for this exciting conference. Now, before we begin, I would like to take this opportunity to welcome our distinguished participants, all of them, in particular those who have come from afar, and to thank them in advance for sharing their unique insights with us today. Our participants include representations from Africa, Europe, and the Americas, from international organizations and courts, from civil society, and from academia. Let me thank above all the MacArthur Foundation, its president, Jonathan Fanton, as well as Mary Page, its director of the Human Rights and International Justice Area in the Program on Global Security and Sustainability, for their support, collaboration, encouragement to realize this project that would not have happened without you. I also would like to thank the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights and the Inter-American Court of Human Rights for their co-sponsorship. Those bodies, supervisory bodies, we all know, don't have the resources required to fully comply with their mission. However, they constantly see possibilities to engage in constructive dialogue for the promotion of human rights. So we particularly value their presence here, because knowing the tight constraints under which they operate, the fact that they are willing to cooperate in this program and share with us their expertise is essential. Tonight we will be thanking José Miguel Insulza, also the Secretary General of the OIS, Elizabeth Abimachet, the Commission, the Inter-American Commission Deputy Executive Secretary, Gloria Hansen, with the Commission, Paulo Saavedra, the Secretary for the Inter-American Court that is here. Again, without them, this event will not have taken place. I also want to thank the American University Law Review and its editor-in-chief, Karen Williams. The Law Review will be publishing the proceedings of this conference. The students are the best that we can offer. Again, the pressures they have are immense. However, some of the most exciting initiatives that require also tremendous time commitment have been the result of their enthusiasm with the profession. It bodes well for the legal profession to see that students like ours have been attracted to the legal realm. I also want to thank my colleague, Professor Diane Orenlicker, a renowned expert in this field, co-recipient and organizing of this initiative. Without Diane, again, we would not be here, and not only from the point of view of her knowledge and commitment, but she was the one who had the idea of these conferences and put the law school in connection with MacArthur, so I want to thank Diane for this. Agustina del Campo, the coordinator of our impact litigation project, who was in charge of numerous and challenging preparations related to this conference. So Agustina, also I want to thank her for her tremendous contribution. Our Office of Special Events and Continuous Legal Education, including Jennifer Dasson. Jennifer had today a baby granddaughter, and she was organizing everything. Everything is doing well, and everyone is doing terrific. So we have pressured her in not being here, and still she was here in the morning, and so we will continue to keep the pressure so she lives to see her new baby girl. Now, let me finish my remarks again, expressing the enthusiasm for this conference and saying that I hope this will be a continuous effort to remain in contact, in touch, and develop together these very important contributions to human dignity. It's my pleasure now to introduce Mr. Jonathan Fanton, who has served as the president of the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation since 1999. As the MacArthur Foundation's president, Mr. Fanton oversees one of the nation's largest foundations, which makes grants and program-related investments of more than $250 million annually and works in more than 60 countries. Domestically, the foundation's programs encompass community development, housing, juvenile justice and education, with a focus on digital media and learning. Internationally, the foundation works in the fields of human rights and international justice, biodiversity conservation, population and reproductive health, international peace and security, and migration and human mobility. The foundation is also well known for its support of exceptionally creative individuals through the MacArthur Fellows Program. In addition to his outstanding leadership and management of the MacArthur Foundation, Mr. Fanton is a board member and former board chair of Human Rights Watch, the largest U.S.-based human rights organization which operates in 70 countries. He's also an advisory trustee of the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, a member of the Board of Trustees of the Chicago History Museum, founding board chair of the Security Council Report, and co-chair of Chicago Partnership for New Communities. Mr. Fanton is also a distinguished author and editor, having written The University and Civil Society, Volumes 1 and 2, and co-edited John Brown, Great Lives of Serve and the Manhattan Project, a documentary introduction to the atomic age. We're fortunate to have individuals by him at the helm of these foundations that ensures and contributes greatly to the promotion of important values. Well, without further delay, I invite you to come to the floor. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dean Grossman, for those kind words and for sponsoring this important colloquium. It's been a great pleasure working with your faculty and staff. They've done a superb job, and we are really privileged to be here. There's a little known part of my biography not mentioned, which is that in the 1990s, I chaired the Middle States Accreditation Review for American University. So this is a university I know extremely well, and I have great respect for all parts of it, but particularly for the law school that stood out in that Middle States accreditation in the 1990s. This is one of four convocations MacArthur is sponsoring to mark its 30th anniversary and to remind us that human rights and international justice have been at the core of MacArthur's work since its founding. We began with the first conference at DePaul to assess the progress and prospects of the International Criminal Court. Early next year, there will be a symposium at the Yale Law School on building political will to advance the system of international justice, followed by an event at Berkeley that will explore how witnesses and victims participate in international courts and tribunals. The Washington College of Law, distinguished by its long commitment to human rights and international law, is an appropriate venue for the second convocation in our series. MacArthur is deeply impressed with the work of this institution, your Center for Human Rights and Humanitarian Law, the International Human Rights Law Clinic, and the War Crimes Research Office, among many ways in which human rights and international law are advanced here. Monitoring and reporting on the international, on the Inter-American Court, analyzing defense procedures for those indicted by the ICC, training both scholars and activists in human rights law and more, the college has established American University as a leading venue for research, debate, and action in our quest for an effective system of international justice. The contributions of your faculty members are far-reaching. Your dean, as past president of the Inter-America Commission and now chair of the UN Committee Against Torture, my friend Herman Schwartz, advising new governments in East and Central Europe on constitutional reform, Robert Goldman, another former Inter-American Commission president, now serving on the International Commission of Eminent Jurists Panel on Terrorism, Counterterrorism, and Human Rights, and Diane Ortenlicker, working with the UN as an independent expert on combating impunity. And I know that's not everybody, but any law school in the world would be proud of this faculty and its contributions. Your work resonates profoundly with MacArthur's aspiration to advance the rights of all to seek redress when national courts fail to produce justice. Over the years, MacArthur supported 600 institutions working on the front lines in 90 countries to expose abuses and strengthen the rule of law. We have a deep interest in helping fashion an integrated system of international justice that includes the ICC, regional human rights courts and commissions, and special tribunals impaneled by the UN as well as the UN Human Rights Council. MacArthur supported the coalition for the ICC that helped bring the court into existence more quickly than expected. Global rights, among others, to gather evidence useful in the court's first cases. The Institute of War and Peace Reporting to train local jurists to cover ICC trials. Redress to help engage victims and witnesses. And the International Bar Association to conduct independent analysis of the court's proceedings. We hope that stronger accountability will deter those who would commit mass atrocities, but we know there will be situations that require prompt action to prevent future Rwandas. MacArthur was privileged to support the International Commission on Intervention and State Sovereignty, which articulated the doctrine of the responsibility to protect, adopted by the UN in 2005. It affirms that when states fail to protect, or worse, commit abuses against their own citizens, the international community has the responsibility to step in to protect citizens. The world has a stronger arsenal for justice now than ever before. While each element had quite separate origins, we are on the cusp of forging an integrated system of international justice from the disparate parts, and that's what these convocations are meant to say and to illustrate. The age of impunity is about to give way to an age of accountability. The high-profile cases of Milosevic, Krotic, Taylor, Pinochet, Fujimori, al-Bashir, these cases show that leaders can no longer commit genocide and crimes against humanity without consequences. And the tribunals for the former Yugoslavia, Rwanda, Sierra Leone, and Cambodia are trying hundreds of other top-level perpetrators. But the story of the regional courts and commissions is just as impressive, and it needs to be told. Their activity and influence are on the rise, and that's in part what we want to do today through this colloquium. Is to underscore, it's not just the high-profile cases that you read about, it's the everyday work on thousands of cases by the regional courts and commissions that has helped building the system of international justice. You know, the European Court in 89 registered only 400 cases, but last year some 40,000 cases were registered. The Inter-America Court, 20 years younger, has some 150 active cases, but the level of applications is rising. 1,500 petitions were received just last year. And the African Court, only 4 years old, is preparing to try its first cases. And while there's yet no human rights mechanism on a regional basis in Asia, the recently adopted ASEAN Charter includes a provision for a human rights body, and talks are now underway on its design. So Europe, Inter-America, Africa, and eventually Asia, all coming together. Regional courts and commissions provide ordinary people with the opportunity to appeal cases of police abuse, discrimination, or abridgment of free expression and assembly when they have exhausted remedies within national justice systems. Regional courts can raise the quality of justice in national courts, and a stronger culture for the rule of law may well prevent everyday abuses from aggregating into the worst crimes imaginable. MacArthur has a deep interest in strengthening these regional bodies. We've funded NGOs such as Access to Justice in Nigeria, the Black Soil Center for the Protection of Media Rights in Russia, and Chachilunolan in Mexico to bring precedent-setting cases to these courts and commissions. We are also interested in helping the regional courts and commissions directly, and will, I hope, early in 2009 announce a major new initiative aimed at helping the new African Human Rights Court take root. Now, for all this encouraging news, we know there are challenges to realizing the full potential of regional and sub-regional mechanisms, which we should also talk about. And that's the topic of this conference: how to make the recommendations of regional human rights bodies more effective, how to choose cases that will set influential precedents, how to strengthen a network of NGOs to build strong cases and bring them forward, especially in Africa, how to share experience and expertise most effectively, and strengthen cooperation across regions and countries. These are the critical questions that our eminent panelists will be addressing today, and you've put together just an extraordinary group of panelists, and they collectively have moved the international justice forward system forward to where it is today. Now, to recognize such contributions of people in this room and on these panels and the many others who labor to build this system, the MacArthur Foundation last year created an award for advancing international justice. The award honors an individual or organization that advances the cause of international justice. It could be a world leader, a courageous judge, or an ordinary citizen working through a human rights group. The first recipient was former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, in recognition of his contribution to building the ICC and encouraging the development of the responsibility to protect. We have chosen this venue right now to announce the second winner of the MacArthur International Justice Award. We've chosen someone present at the creation of the modern era of international justice, a distinguished jurist and legal scholar, a person whose clarity of purpose, fairness, and credibility is a force that inspires all who labor in the special tribunals, regional human rights courts, and the ICC itself. And so it's with great pleasure, great honor, that I announce that the second recipient of the MacArthur Award for International Justice will be Richard J. Goldstone. Justice Goldstone, already a prominent judge, came to international attention as the chair of the Commission of Inquiry regarding public violence and intimidation in the aftermath of apartheid in his native South Africa. His wise and even-handed direction of the commission provided invaluable, it was just critical, to the democratic transition in that country, where he also served as an inaugural member of the Constitutional Court. In 1994, Justice Goldstone was appointed chief prosecutor of the UN International Criminal Tribunals for the former Yugoslavia and for Rwanda, the first of their kind since Nuremberg. His mature, meticulous, and measured exercise of that mandate reanimated the enterprise of international justice, bringing both a degree of resolution to victims and a new model for the prosecution of crimes against humanity. Insisting on the independence of the counsel and judges, a transparent establishment of facts in each case, due process protections for the accused, and the centrality of firsthand testimony from witnesses and surviving victims, Judge Goldstone gave the tribunals moral authority and legal credibility. It is a testament to the quality of his work that the international community accepted the Rome Statute and established the ICC with confidence. Justice Goldstone stood guarantor for the responsibility, probity, and value of international justice. His unquestioned competence and integrity won the faith of the world. At the close of his recent memoir, For Humanity, Justice Goldstone had these words: "No longer will dictators or oppressive governments be able to violate the fundamental rights of citizens with impunity. We are moving into a new and different world. I have no doubt that the 21st century will witness the growth of an international criminal justice system and that victims of war crimes will no longer be ignored." Sharing that goal and in tribute to all Richard Goldstone has accomplished, the MacArthur Foundation is indeed privileged to name him the second recipient of our award, which will be conferred appropriately in The Hague in May of next year. So in closing, I want to thank all of you for your kind attention. I want to applaud your efforts to ensure that all members of the human family are treated with fairness and respect. And I want to say that we look forward to making common cause with you in pursuit of a more just, humane, and peaceful world. Have a great conference.
Very small present for you.
Oh, thank you very much.
And well, this is a terrific announcement, and Judge Goldstone has been here, and I think many of us know him personally and look forward to extend the congratulations as soon as we can.
Well, I spoke with him and told him where we were going to announce the award, and he was very pleased that we chosen American University, Washington College of Law. So I hope you'll come with us and join us in the Hague next year.
Okay, we have indeed a terrific news.